Hey man, do you know what happened on November 27th of this year?
Let's see, Thanksgiving or
so. Photos were just released, and this is kind of breaking news. This came out yesterday.
Boy, I feel like you're pulling my leg.
No, I'm not. I'm not pulling your leg. This was the wedding of Andrew W.K. and Kat Dennings.
Man.
Yep. And it's also one of my favorite. Well, before I even get into that, Also the synchronicity with this news is, guess who was at the wedding?
Me.
Not you. Close. It was a small ceremony, 15 people. But out of all those 15 people, our pal, Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, yes, yeah, man.
Was at the wedding. So if you haven't picked it up yet, we are going to be talking about today one of my favorite episodes, one of Woody's favorite episodes.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And maybe, I don't know, I would say this episode is almost a benchmark of the just, we really upped the level of research.
Well, that, and I feel like it is a great example of what our show is. Because, like, it's not just Bigfoot and Krampus and, you know, all that stuff, but also, like, these really cool mysteries that live within the pop culture world that we were surrounded by, and our love for music and all that. It's just, man, fascinating, fascinating episode.
Yeah, and also, I think, and I'm pretty sure we talk about it in the actual episode, but I do feel in a way that it, you know, it was probably akin a little bit to how folks felt in the, I mean, I guess, was it 70s or just early 80s? Like the Andy Kaufman sort of aspect of that sort of like art, social experiment kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, regardless of what you think about him, regardless of what your theory is, was it completely just like a big hoax, or was it sort of this planned thing from the beginning? And as usual, there's a
loudest train.
God bless America.
In America.
In America. Yeah, yeah. But whatever you, however you feel about this topic, I do think that you still have to give it to him and his level of like forethought and planning. And he's a genius.
Yeah, 100%.
So sit back, put those headphones on, and join us in this episode of Andrew W.K. But before we party hard, I just want to bring up something today that's very important to me and very important to Woody, considering that he's been able to try this stuff before I have. And that is our new favorite mind enhancer, energy supplement, magical bottle, Magic Mind. Take it away, Woody.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I used to give you a lot of grief.
Still do.
Back in the day. Well, true. This is true. Mm-hmm. Okay. About, like, you know, you'd have like a, you know, a counter, literally, folks, we'd be on tour and this guy had just a counter full of vitamins and bottle, like every kind of supplement you can think
healthy
of.
As a horse,
and, you know, healthy as a horse, you know, you go back in time and unfortunately for folks who lived on Earth before us, they didn't really have the access to some of the things that you can find in Magic Mind. We're talking matcha. Okay. Did you know this?
Well, I think they probably did have matcha back in the day, didn't they?
Well, just, I mean, you know, different parts of the country.
Right.
I know that, you know, whatever. Did you know that matcha contains far less caffeine than coffee? And then it has these additional compounds inside of it that extend these benefits of caffeine by slowing your body's ability to absorb it.
Bioflavonoids.
It's got L-theanine, which reduces stress. And I don't know about you, man, but the holidays can be stressful. You might have Uncle Frank coming in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are neurotropics. Did I say it right?
That time? Yeah.
No, last time I think I said nootropic. I don't even know what I said.
You know, L-theanine and lemon balm extract is actually in some sleep supplements.
Right. So I think that it reduces stress. So you're going to get this boost from some of the things that will bring you that natural energy. But then there's all these other things that are included that really help with reducing anxiety and stress and improving memory, mental endurance, and clarity.
So before we party hard, head on over to magicmind.com/brad. Enter code BRAD20 for your discount on something that's actually really pretty impressive to us lately. And give it a shot yourself. All right, let's party hard.
cryptic codes, corporate creations, alternate identity, brainwashing, multiple personality disorder, secret identity, time travel, alter egos, self-deconstruction, the ultimate trickster archetype, everlasting life, performance art. Is this genius or deranged? Is this a story of someone crafting their own non-existence? This is the incredibly mysterious, true, and also untrue story of
When it's time to party, we will party hard.
Welcome back, friends, to another episode of your favorite podcast, That Would Be Rad, a podcast that majors in 80s and 90s nostalgia, comic culture, all things paranormal, and minors in retro video games, tabletop RPGs, pre-internet mysteries, and raising our kids to be half as cool as we were back in the 80s. We are your hosts, Woody Brown.
And Tyler Bentz. How's it going?
What is going on, man?
I've been so excited about this. What happened?
Already a numb. First sentence.
Jeez. I've been so excited about this that, like, this topic has engulfed me just my entire existence for the last several weeks. And, you know, midway through working on other episodes and all that, like, I have just been immersed in this topic. Yeah. And it has absolutely blown me away. And I want to say from the beginning that I hope that we do this justice, because, man, it's fascinating.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I thought about this the other day. I want to make sure that everybody knows, look, our mission here at That Would Be Rad is to bring interesting, weird, sometimes scary, mysterious, fun, hilarious, nostalgic stories to our listeners. And then from there, they can dive deeper in everything. This is not an encyclopedia of knowledge about any specific topic.
Never has been.
But our job is to present something just super intriguing. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say, on the surface level, the second that our good buddy Johnny told us about this, we were at dinner for Tyler's birthday months and months and months ago, and he kind of told us about it. We had crappy service where we were, so I wasn't able to look into it too far. But once I did at first, on the surface level, it seems very
sort of shallow.
Yeah, shallow in terms of how much there is to this topic that we're going to talk about today, this mystery that's surrounding this guy. But once you start diving in, and Tyler kept on telling me that, like, dude, trust me, once you start diving in, and I'm like, God, man, I don't know. I mean, and no lie, as soon as I started diving in, it gets weirder and weirder.
Yeah.
And my mind changes over and over and over again as to what I think is going on here. And I think we should just get straight into it.
Yeah. Let me just say real quick before that, you know, when our buddy Johnny told us, so he gave me a ride home after Johnny and his wife were coming over to our house. And so I rode with him back, and he showed me some of the newest the more recent Andrew WK videos. And they're just super weird. It's a topic that I haven't even thought about probably since the early 2000s. And same with you, Woody.
Yeah, or you mean a musician that I haven't thought about?
Well, yeah, I mean anything about him. Like, I didn't I didn't know of, like, any of these, even the sort of earlier quote unquote conspiracies. So when Johnny was like, "Yeah, there's this whole thing, and you know, he may actually not be him."
Whoa! Let's start from the beginning, bro.
Okay, let's go.
All right. So who we're talking about today is a musician. Sometimes maybe not even any of you will know. It goes by the name of Andrew WK. Now, if you kind of rewind back in your mind to when this guy kind of came onto the scene, early 2000s, you're talking about a time period when bubblegum pop and kind of just really sort of crummy, very polished music was kind of closing out the 90s, the late 90s, right? And so there's this like resurgence of like songwriting and indie rock and musicianship that kind of exploded around the time of like 2001, mm-hmm. you know, bands like The Strokes and again, early 2000s, like Kings of Leon, Interpol, yeah. Franz Ferdinand, The Killers, the White Stripes, all of these people started just like popping up on the scene. And then also you had this guy, Andrew W.K. Now, you probably remember him because of that extremely recognizable album cover of his first album mm-hmm. called I Get Wet, where he's kind of staring directly into the camera and he's just got this gnarly bloody nose. Blood's just like dripping all down his face onto his white t-shirt. Mm-hmm. He's got this like long, greasy hair. And then, of course, you know, his first single, Party Hard. So on the surface, again, nothing really seems too mysterious about him at this point. Let's rewind back a little bit. 1993 is kind of about when he began his quote-unquote musical career. He was in a bunch of, like, just random bands, as you and I both were, Tyler, back in, like, mm-hmm. you know, high school and stuff. He graduates in 1998 and moves from Michigan, where his family lives, to New York City. At that time, he was kind of playing shows here and there in smaller clubs, kind of really establishing himself as this kind of unique sort of act. I think a lot of those early shows, it would just be kind of like him and a keyboard.
Yeah, and he like just karaoke made, style.
Yeah, karaoke style stuff where he's got like this backing track playing and he's just like singing. But mm-hmm. his personality and high energy was kind of electric, contagious, and a lot of people took notice, mm-hmm. including probably the most famous person that took notice somehow was Dave Grohl from, of course, Foo Fighters, but also legendary drummer originally in the band Nirvana. When Dave Grohl kind of took notice of him, he kind of offered, I think, a few opening slots for Andrew W.K. Mm-hmm. And around 2001, Andrew W.K. gets this record deal from Island and Def Jam. And this is when he debuted that studio album, I Get Wet. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. interesting thing about that record, it was recorded in New York. And actually had like dozens of contributors, different musicians playing, you know, the drums, the guitars, back and just all that stuff that happens on an album mm-hmm. since he's technically just a individual mm-hmm. as a performer. But if you look into the liner notes, there was an executive producer named Steve Mike. That's spelled S-T-E-E-V, Mike. Mm-hmm. More on him or them later. All right, so like I said, the first single, Party Hard, was released. You probably remember it. Very sort of like pounding beat, keyboards. It was like this weird blend of like heavy metal, but not heavy metal. And mm-hmm.
but like super poppy at the
yeah,
same time.
Poppy enough to like be easily accessible to people who don't like heavy metal or hard rock, mm-hmm. really, you mm-hmm. know? And again, he brought that same sort of energy, if you remember the video, that sort of just like headbanging and just like, you know, intense energy. And I'll just never forget, like, seeing that video for the first time. Here's this guy. He's got, like, a plain white t-shirt on, plain white jeans. These sort of, like, I mean, different people. My friends used to call them marshmallow sneakers. Just, like, these big, thick sort of dad sneakers.
Shoes. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're just kind of like, I don't really know what's going on here, but the song's catchy as heck, so okay, good deal.
Which I can specifically remember, because it was weird. It was like, he really did truly feel like he just came out of nowhere.
Right.
And then, you didn't just... It wasn't like with most bands where it was like, oh, you heard a song. It's like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then they kind of disappear. Then they come back with a second album. And then it's like, oh, well, I'm kind of into this now. Like, this dude kind of came out of nowhere and then all of a sudden was everywhere.
Right. He's also just a very interesting character. Just to kind of give you some context in case you don't really know much about him, that same album cover that I mentioned earlier for his debut album, mm-hmm. I remember thinking like, oh, it's probably just fake blood. Well, it turns out that he actually smashed his own nose mm-hmm. with a brick and also like jammed his fingers really hard up in there
yep.
to make his nose bleed, mm-hmm. okay? Already, if that doesn't tell you a little bit about his kind of personality being a little quirky,
yeah.
then hopefully it should. Now, it didn't get the desired effect that he wanted, not enough blood essentially, and mm-hmm. so he actually went to like a nearby butcher or something and got some animal blood, I think probably pig or whatever, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and, you know, poured more of it onto his face for the photo shoot.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I got to say, again, you know, we talked about this earlier, but, man, I don't think he looks anything like even the him at that time. I feel like the album covers, I don't know, they look totally different.
Right. So he goes on tour. He tours pretty heavily in support of this album. Mm-hmm. And you know how record labels are, especially if you have an incredible success, just like a movie studio or just like whatever, and they want you to release that follow-up pretty quickly. And so he got back in the studio and he started recording the second album called The Wolf.
Yeah.
The Wolf comes out in 2003, again, begins a relatively rigorous tour schedule that starts to slow down, actually. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of the beginning of when his fans start to notice a little bit of just a little difference here and there. So December 17th, 2004, he is scheduled to play this show. It's like a charity show in Elizabeth, New Jersey. It's like a holiday show for the WSOU. And when he arrives, he reportedly sort of was acting like very strange, very to himself, quiet, low energy, which again is kind of atypical for him.
Inconsistent, yeah.
Yeah, inconsistent. He kind of rushed backstage to his dressing room, didn't really come out until it was time to go on. When he got on stage, people in the crowd reported that he didn't seem like himself, and even kind of just seemed like somebody dressed as Andrew W.K. who kind of looked like him, but wasn't, and would do a bunch of like weird things and even cut the show short. And so the fans that were there were kind of like really, really ticked off. They, at the time, he had a website called AWK World that in the early stages of his career, they would have like a forum on there. He would answer fans' questions, and fans started to notice leading up to this charity show or whatever. His replies became less and less sort of frequent, and they started noticing that the answers that he was giving them just seemed off. It wasn't like that sort of happy-go-lucky, positivity kind of guy that he was sort of known for being. And so after this show, they kind of did a couple things. One, they rushed to calling the club promoter and the booking agent and like the guy that manages the club, essentially complaining and being like, what is going on? We don't feel like we got our money's worth. So you got that going on.
Well, and also apparently there were so many calls to like the local rock station, people being like, this was not Andrew W.K. This was an imposter. So much so that then the promoter actually put out a public statement.
Right. And the fans also went to the website and they're like, what is going on here? That wasn't him. And it wasn't just like one or two, three people. It's just like all these people are saying like, hey, man, what's up? That was not Andrew W.K. Or they would say stuff like, what's going on with him? Is he all right? He just didn't seem like himself.
Yeah. So he, on his website, AWK World, he's always been the guy that would reply. And so on December 17th, apparently this girl named Christine Williams started doing all the replies on the Andrew W.K. website. And so, you know, you have a guy saying, where the heck is Andrew? We don't want to hear from you. We want to hear from Mr. W.K. himself. And so her response to this is really bizarre. It says, thank you for writing me. I must admit, I feel slightly uneasy trying to explain to you where Andrew is. And let me also state for the record that I'm in no way trying to fill in for Andrew. I'm simply here to answer questions one at a time on a moment-to-moment basis. Tonight will be the last Andrew KW concert of 2004. We trust that the fans will come out in full force and raise the bar higher than ever. This is our last chance to build a night of never-ending excitement, sold out in New Jersey. I wish I could be there. As Andrew himself has stated, he will always be there. You just might not see him. Assumptions are once again at the mercy of possibility. Standards are suddenly stripped and elevated. Precepts and formalities no longer conceal the limitless possibility that's always been there and no longer will anticipate procedure shatter expectations or limit the endless variations of outcome that can be experienced now. Things which have become familiar are now anomalous. Due to the current circumstances, we still don't know who's causing this. We do have very clear idea how to continue our research. The most important thing is Andrew W.K. is hard at work on the third album. He's recording in New York City, working with Mario Dane and Louise Harland, which this will come back later. You must know that Andrew is not moving away, all caps, because he's already gone, which means he's actually closer to you than ever before. Remember, no sign is a good sign, and that still remains the case. The most important part of this will remain and flourish like never before. It's possible that your theories of comfort will be shattered in the ultimate liberation of understanding. But just when we feel we have no grasp, we realize we've been holding on to the most solid structure the entire time. There is no, all caps, reason for this to happen, except that it is. Except that it is, and enjoy yourself. As always, your pleasure remains the priority. Sincerely, Christine Williams. So,
couple quick things, because it was kind of confusing when you started talking about. So this specific post is actually on the same date as the concert. When the guy
before
asks,
the concert,
hey, where the heck is Andrew? They mean, how come she keeps on answering the questions on this on this forum on his website?
She's like the webmaster, apparently.
Yeah, the new one. Mm-hmm. A couple things I thought were interesting about that response. And we'll get more into this again. When she refers to, so she says, tonight will be the last Andrew KW concert.
Exactly.
2004.
Which also, to keep in mind, her name is Christine Williams.
Which is.
KW.
Yeah. Such a weird answer.
Yeah.
From someone that is the quote unquote webmaster.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so then the next day, which is the day after this concert where everybody's complaining, she responds again. It says, Dear AFI Wolf, imagine my surprise this quiet Sunday morning when I sat down in the office and saw 87 new emails and a whopping 403 new questions in the database. My jaw dropped. 403 new questions in one day. Well, it didn't take me long to see that all these people were asking more or less the same question. What happened with Andrew WK in New Jersey? And where is Andrew? Many different people wrote in asking, why was Andrew so weird? Another fan wrote in, the show in New Jersey was the best I've ever been to, but what happened with Andrew WK at the end? I want to start by saying that I personally thought the concert was tremendous. Keep in mind, she was saying she wished that she could be there the day of. December 17th will always be a date I remember with pride. It was a milestone marker for the future of Andrew WK, which, man, that's telling. We all felt great seeing a sold-out crowd full of such passionate AWK fans. To answer all of your questions, there's been a lot of confusion regarding this New Jersey concert. People have been especially curious about where Andrew went after the show and whether or not it was, in fact, Andrew himself on stage. Well, please let me be the first to tell you that you can all take a deep breath and relax. Please calm down. It was a spectacular concert. Everything went over very well, and the night was a success. We should all feel great about the show. Many of you did mention some strange, unexplained moments during the evening, mainly due to the stopping of the show early before the band could finish the intended set, and how Andrew was moving. This was due to a small problem with people in the backstage. Everything was taken care of smoothly, and everyone made it out in one piece. At the end of the show, we moved at the same time as they worked with the equipment and finished it up perfectly. We just want people to know that it went over very well. At this point, all we can do is look at the information we've been collecting and continue with our research into the facts. We will not respond to false accusations, nor will we be threatened by those who choose deception over fairness. I'm never disappointed with a good AWK show. Thanks to the whole East Coast crew and everyone who traveled for making this the turning point without a hitch. When it's time to party, we will all party hard, very hard. The show is perfect, and that's all that matters. Long live the party.
So just to kind of bring everybody back up to speed here, this is December 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Around this time, people start noticing that he's less and less active on the on his website.
Mm-hmm.
This lady, Christine Williams, starts to become the person who's responding to all these questions as, quote unquote, the web manager.
Mm-hmm.
But when she's answering these questions, it's like there's some answer and then there's a bunch of just weird stuff.
So weird.
And, you know, unfortunately for all of us, the AWK World website is no longer up. So a lot of this stuff now lives in...
like the Wayback Machine.
Yeah, the Wayback Machine, or, you know, some people have kind of archived a lot of these. Simultaneous to this happening...
2 days later?
Yeah. So just a couple days later, allegedly, AWK World is hacked.
Mm.
Okay? Now, there is a message that is... okay, hold on. Let me rewind just a quick second. Some of the responses that people began to sort of see to the fan asked questions on his website,
mm-hmm.
the responses from Andrew WK were in this strange cryptic code.
Oh, yeah.
It just, you would see this response to a question, it's all numbers. Now, what we kind of have come to find out is that it's a relatively simplistic code to decipher.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically...
wait, is that a callback to last episode?
I mean... what a perfect
man.
What a perfect next episode for us to have.
Seriously.
I mean, are we just like, are we an, it's almost like our podcast now? We're like a cryptology podcast. So it's a relatively easy code to crack. It's essentially numbers based on the letters of the English alphabet. Mm-hmm. You know, one corresponds with A, two for B, and so on. Mm-hmm. When his website gets hacked, essentially there's this message that is completely in this code. And here is what it says. To start with, let me say that I respect you and our fans very much. You know how much I believe in you and all that you stand for, because I stood for it first. You know how much I love your music because I created it. You know that I love the way you look and act and talk and sing and dance because it was born in my brain. Hopefully by now, you've noticed that I've hacked into the websites. Maybe you haven't seen everything, but your fans have. In fact, your fans are well on their way to knowing the truth. I've been giving them bits and pieces, hoping that you'd come to your senses and stop trying to squeeze me out. Well, you haven't responded to my initial requests, and you forced me to make threats. When you act unprofessional, so will I. Now I have no choice but to let the facts speak for themselves. I never wanted it to come to this, but I can no longer wait in the background and ignore your complete disrespect. You've exploited the automatic disadvantage our agreement puts me in. Our choice to let you enjoy the spotlight while I create the magic leaves me almost helpless. You will not force me to expose myself until I expose you first. I know that your quick rise to fame had clouded your memory concerning our partnership. I was willing to forgive your cruel and ignorant choices because you're a young star. However, your recent efforts to exclude me from the third album material will not be tolerated. I did not work for the last year on these new songs in order to have you break promises. Your fans deserve to know the truth. Your fans are smart. That's why I've put this same letter up on one of the many websites I've been creating in your name. By the time you read this, your fans will have already read it too. Don't worry, I've made it very hard for all but the most dedicated AWK fans to find. But know this, more and more people will find out the real story unless you stop trying to sabotage our agreement. I've chosen not to go to the press with this. Yet, I do value our relationship, and I want to continue towards all that we initially planned. However, if you refuse to comply, I will have no choice but to let the world know that you are a backstabbing fraud. Now, it's up to you. Yours truly, Steve Mike. Mm. P.S. Unless you want even more people to find out the truth about the music, our agreement, and your new girlfriend, stop with your plans and hold up your end of the deal.
Mm.
Boom.
Yeah, there's that name, Steve Mike again.
Steve Mike. You might remember Steve Mike is listed on the album, on the albums as the executive producer.
Yeah, and let's also say, I mean, I guess it's a good time now to get into this, is this Steve Mike entity character, if you will, he first appeared in the liner notes of a self-titled 7-inch vinyl record release. It was a self-titled, I guess, Andrew W.K. He was noted, or he was credited as the producer. Mm-hmm. And so he's kind of been on every single record, every single release, whether it was like demos or mm-hmm. whatever. He's had that Steve Mike credit in there. The fans that were like really into this, 2004.
Yeah.
These fans were like, at this point, I mean, Woody and I both, we were kind of over it. It was sort of like, yeah, Party Hard was cool and all, but like, whatever. We never really got super into Andrew W.K. So, we wouldn't have known any of this stuff. That's why all these years later, when our buddy Johnny brought this up, it was like getting hit upside the head because it felt like it came out of nowhere. The last for sure. I had known of Andrew W.K., I didn't even know he was making music anymore.
Yeah. Okay. So shortly after that message was posted by the hacker, we get a response from Andrew W.K. Now, remember, folks, he is active less and less and less on this website.
Yeah.
But this time, it is actually Andrew, or it's at least signed Andrew W.K. Mm-hmm. It says, God, it's so weird.
Oh, wait a minute. Weird. I didn't even notice this till just now, but I'm seeing,
after these messages, we'll be right back.
Pretty cool place.
If you're a Martian.
Or a vampire.
think you really know what's happening around here, don't you?
If anyone out there wants to...
We're fighters for truth, justice, and the American way.
Hey, this is Woody.
And this is Tyler. And you're listening to That Would Be Rad.
And now, back to our show.
So this was Tuesday the 21st, December 2004, you know, military time, 1453. His response came at 1455.
Whoa, 2 minutes later.
2 minutes later.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, here's his response. Dear everyone, I had no idea what was waiting. I got back to my room. I noticed that I had no idea what was waiting. I got back to my room. I noticed I had changed. Oh no. Already I didn't like the sound of that. I immediately went and looked. Right away, I noticed that there were something messed up. I knew something was weird in this section. Then I sank into my stomach. I knew it. You always imagine you.
What is that?
I am this. The me. I can't believe me. Anyway, soon I started finding them. In parentheses, by the way, my manager showed me and I'm very impressed. Close parentheses. I spoke and the long process of forming cleared everything out. Geez, I can't believe this actually happened. I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe it. This whole Steve Mike thing, I can't even begin. Right now we have solidified. We are the company. This was its insides. That's the only way to the systems. However, there is a small part that thinks it could be someone undisclosed in privacy. I can't even imagine this, but I have. I'm just a witness. You shouldn't see any of this. I talk about blackmail.
What is that?
In all caps. Please don't believe Steve Mike. I used to call myself Steve Mike a long time ago, and it's nothing now. Mm-hmm. Someone is trying to confuse you and make me look bad, like a relationship gone bad. Someone is pretending to be me and this Steve Mike guy. I don't understand why people are close. Jesus. In all caps again, I know you're reading this. Whoever you are, we'll find you. I've made the following decisions. I've now completely removed myself. The music is all that matters for all of us, and that's what I am. I have the best feelings about all of it because I know that it's right. We're stronger now more than ever, and it's only because of one thing. We're still going. Long gone. Sincerely, Andrew W.K. I mean, extremely bizarre, right? I mean, that's the only way to describe that response.
Yeah.
It's extremely confusing. It is almost nonsensical in certain areas. It's just so weird.
Yeah.
And essentially, I think from at that point on, that was the last post sort of signed off by, quote, Andrew W.K.
Yeah, I think so too.
Real quick, another quick thing about that's important, I think, to note about this hacker and the hacker's allegations, aside from that initial statement that they put onto the website. Mm-hmm. Essentially, they alleged that Andrew W.K. was a moniker, handed off to different hired actors, each who played Andrew W.K. So, in other words, in that allegation, kind of saying that, hey, look, the person that we know as Andrew W.K. is nothing more than an actor who is literally playing a role that he was hired to do by, we don't know.
Yeah,
it's... Record company, something.
It's like a mantle, like how Bruce Wayne has Batman, you know. And it's kind of the way, at least at this point, the way that, well, I guess not really at this point, at least Steve Mike is kind of saying this, is like, you know, there's multiple Bruce Waynes to fill in for Batman, you know.
And what's interesting, too, about just this whole Steve Mike thing is, again, on the surface level, people that are hardcore, like, pre-internet sleuths, or, I mean, you know, early internet sleuths, and people that just kind of, like, really dive into liner notes, on the surface would just be like, oh, okay, cool, Steve Mike is who produced it, you know.
Right.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, this name is used again here, and that's really kind of what just ignites this sort of like, wait a second, who's this Steve Mike person? And then you can kind of like retcon back to, oh, they produced like the first couple records.
Yeah.
And all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So this is in 2004. Between 2004 and 2006, you don't really hear anything from him. Mm-hmm. I think he's still touring at that time.
So yeah, so like his tour schedule slowed incredibly, just very sort of sporadic dates. Mm-hmm. The website manager in that initial response kind of made reference to this album that he was apparently quote-unquote working on called The Power Never Stops Forming.
Right.
Which never was released.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what they were pushing out to the press, because I think at this point, like, people were kind of noticing he's just not around that much. Like, where is this dude, you know?
Yeah, that's I'm glad you brought that up, because this was also around the time that, if you remember the Christina Williams post, the original one, she said, you know, Andrew's hard at work. He's already got 10 songs in. He's recording in New York. And so that album never, nothing ever happens. So then the only thing that I have is, in the next thing is in 2006, Close Calls with Brick Walls comes out, and it's only available in Japan. Well, then we don't really hear anything until 2009, when an article comes out from The Guardian, which is like a pretty big deal in London, or in Britain. And basically he comes out and says they released this only in Japan because he was caught up with, he had an ex-colleague, collaborator, and family. The way it was worded is a little weird, mm-hmm. but he said basically they were in legal trouble, and it kind of trickled down to get him into a weird situation for using the name Andrew WK.
His statement about the end of 2004 and that whole thing was, because this person had like a lot of different complaints with Andrew WK, they were able to quote unquote turn his life and career upside down. He wasn't allowed to use his own
right.
name with certain areas of the US entertainment industry. And that's, you know, dealing with like owning the rights to his image and who should get credit for quote inventing it.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, this made my life complicated and intense for a few years, but I kept working and do whatever I could to keep moving forward. And that's why the album was only released, according to him, in Japan.
Which further kind of pushes this narrative of there being like multiple, or it being like a mantle, or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So around that same time that the Guardian article came out, he had another album come out called 55 Cadillac. It originally comes out on a new label that he had created, which is a label created in the UK called Skyscraper Records. And what's weird is then a few months after that, the aforementioned Close Calls with Brick Walls album would come out. He would re-release it under his record label. But then at this time, the record label's name changes from Skyscraper Records to now Steve Mike Records, which is weird. And also, you know, again, the weirdness, you know, the title 55 Cadillac is weird, because like if you're writing a year, you would have your like your little dash at the end for like the year 55. It doesn't have that. And a lot of people sort of tie this back into, you know, the letter E being the fifth letter in the alphabet, 55, EE, Steve, Mike, Cadillac. I don't know what the Cadillac deal.
Well, and like in the forums and stuff with those code, like the people that were like the ones that kind of figured out the alphabetical sort of like the code break, basically. Mm-hmm.
The cipher.
A lot of times they would recognize that 55 and kind of the letters around it and note that it would mean Steve, Mike. And so eventually it started being referred to as, they would just refer to Steve Mike as 55 on those forums and stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the fact that this album is called 55 Cadillac could be a coincidence, but boy howdy.
Yeah. So like I said, you know, a few months later, they re-released the Close Calls with Brick Walls album. The interesting thing is the original cover basically showed there's, you know, flames or something in the background. You see Andrew WK, you see his face is all blurry. And on one hand, he's holding an album that shows on the cover of the CD case. It looks like him, and he's like kind of like scared, and like a lot of people say it looks like he's like trapped in there. You know, he's like being held prisoner. Then the other one, he's like kind of happy. You know, when the record is re-released under Steve Mike Records, now the face is completely just cut out. Even if you raise the brightness and contrast in Photoshop, it's just completely black. So no face at all. The one weird thing is now he's wearing his classic sort of white dirty t-shirt white jeans, 80s Casio watch, which Woody, you've had one for years, but he's wearing this necklace. I kind of looked into this, and the necklace represents, apparently it's sort of tied to like what's called Zoroastrianism, and it's pretty deep. So, you know, you can get into that all by yourself, but it's one of the oldest, most ancient symbols that's on the planet. And the necklace is of this winged sun disk is what it's called. It's like the sun disk god. And it's called the Faravahar, you know, old ancient Persia, links to like Babylon and Babylonia, ancient Babylonian. This is like pre-Egyptian, but you know, once you see it, it kind of
recognize it. I thought of Raiders of the Lost Ark is what it reminded me.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. It's like later on the Egyptians would take it as like the Osiris, Set, Horus little symbol. You know, it's like it's not like the scarab beetle, but it's like the long wings. But it was actually taken from this Persian thing, which is, you know, Zoroastrianism, which is way older. Anyway, it kind of stands for the supreme god Ahura Mazda, which this is like so perfect for him, because the original meaning of this is lost in history, it's so perfect. But a lot of people, you know, the Persians and like, you know, they kind of say, oh, well, it means like elevation of thought, which is pretty interesting. The only other time you ever see this is he has this super bizarre little interview on Fox News where the guy's talking, he's asking him like this long question and he's making this like crazy face.
Yeah.
It's wild.
The guy asks him something like pretty simplistic about like, now tell us about like when you're writing a song,
something.
And then in the background, this is like a call-in situation.
Right.
So he's not in the studio with Andrew WK. Andrew WK just starts making this just very strange sort of like smiling face with his lip. You probably just heard my voice change because I was doing it as I'm explaining it. And it's just bizarre.
Yeah, super weird. Let's regroup now. You know, he's just released this record, 55 Cadillac, with his fans. It's kind of, overall, people don't really like it. You know, he talks about the album and says, this is the sound of a free man not having to worry about global planning and recording dates and yada yada. He says, this is the sound of a free man playing a piano, you know, and it's this weird, you hear like cars in the background, weird piano improv. There's no lyrics. It's all instrumental. It's bizarre. It's almost like this whole time he released this whole thing just so he could call it 55 Cadillac.
It's weird. I mean, like in his statements around this album, he talked about stuff like, you know, I'm getting updates from my lawyer as I type this.
Right.
I don't really know how to feel about it. It's beyond frustrating. It almost feels like a hallucination. It inspires so much rage inside of me that my mind has to seek other outlets for that energy. And I start to feel dizzy and see stars.
Yeah. You know, up to this point, little weirdness, but he's still kind of, you know, from the outside, if you're not like a super fan.
He's eccentric.
Yeah, he's kind of a weird dude. You see him on TV, he's doing weird stuff. You know, throughout his career, there's also been like there's like little stuff here and there that you would see where people would be like, oh, well, I saw Andrew WK on the street and it wasn't really him. He was clearly someone else, but it was with Andrew's entourage and he got into a black Suburban, but it clearly was a different guy. You know, so this is kind of this sort of like little mythos surrounding him. But if you're just the surface level fan, no issues. He's just the party guy.
And he's just kind of like less and less public, less and less, you know, available. He's also doing these like motivational speaking tours. But if you listen to the speeches,
yeah,
they're just very strange.
Well, this is about, go ahead.
I was just going to say, this is about the time when if you start digging into this stuff, you're going to hear things like this one interview where someone finally asks him at this like Q&A session.
Here we go.
Thank you. Let's go right back to the questions. Thank you for your patience.
Hi, Andrew. My name is also Andrew.
Okay, Andrew, yes.
My question is this. While I understand that you have various interests to protect and promises that you've made,
thank you.
I want to try to ask a question that won't be too complicated for you to answer. So I'm going to try to make it a yes or no question. While you have various collaborators, that seems apparent. Are you the person who's sitting on the stage right now, the voice that you're about to answer my question with, is that the same voice that has appeared on the three Andrew WK albums?
Good question.
Thank you.
Thank you for your question. You may be seated. You can pass the mic on.
Thank you.
Anybody else? One second.
He just goes off stage.
Yeah.
For some time. Doesn't really answer the question. Seems kind of annoyed. And then answers it.
To answer your question, thank you very much for asking it. To answer your question, I am Andrew WK. I am the same Andrew WK that has been here from... I am the same Andrew WK that has been here from the beginning. I am the same Andrew WK that you have seen on all the albums. I am the same Andrew WK that has existed and performed for you at all concerts and appearances, including this one. I am Andrew WK. I am the same Andrew WK that has appeared through at all Andrew WK related appearances. Thank you. Next question. Thank you.
And then answers it in such a bizarre way.
Yeah, almost like he's reading like directions or from a script almost.
Right.
Well, and also I think it's important to add that even up until now, you know, the more recent videos, like in the last 5 years or so, I mean, I would say almost every single video or anything that you see of him is like really playing up this sort of, you know, multiple Andrew WK idea.
Look, I think we need to go ahead and like get it out in the open so we can just have a talk about that specifically.
Okay.
In that... there's this thing that Andrew WK has alluded to himself,
yeah,
out of his own mouth, that this is some sort of manufactured,
yep,
thing. And he even said, like I made a reference to earlier, that he at some point said, yeah, I'm Steve Mike.
Right.
So initially when Tyler and I were kind of talking about all this, because by the way, there are so many different theories about, you know, what's going on and who Mike is. And I mean, literally just countless that we started like our gut feeling. It does feel sort of like a couple different main sort of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
The first one being that this is kind of like a manufactured thing. He is just somebody that is kind of quirky anyway, mm-hmm, was a musician and kind of fit this mold into this sort of marketing behemoth, ingenious sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's kind of one. And by the way, a lot of these kind of overlap.
Which, by the way, a lot of the fire that goes into that one is from that original, you know, quote unquote conspiracy theory of people thinking that it was, this whole thing was Dave Grohl's idea of just trolling, mm-hmm, the world and the music industry, which, you know, as we go forward, you're going to start seeing that like, well, maybe there's a lot more intentionality to this. But even there's even reports of, you know, back in the day in New York and even earlier when he would play these weird sort of karaoke shows, he would show up with a CD of his music, he would put it in, and then he would just go nuts and just sing and do his Andrew WK thing just by himself. And a lot of people at the time even said, oh, well, I was at this show and that was not Andrew WK. That was clearly Dave Grohl with a wig on. And, you know, so this idea has been with him since the beginning. There's been this, mm-hmm, weird, like, not all things are quite right, you know?
Right. But there does seem like there is an intention.
Oh, 100%.
It, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you break down Andrew WK on a very, very surface level, let's just talk about the way he's dressed, right?
Yeah.
He's got a white shirt,
mm-hmm,
white pants, marshmallow shoes.
Yep.
And it's very like, this is the uniform, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even something that you said earlier about how like some people would see quote unquote Andrew WK and his entourage and people that kind of like look like him. It's almost like there's this intentional, almost like body doubling.
Oh, yeah.
That's going
like
on.
Like a doppelganger.
Yeah, doppelganger stuff that's going on.
An imposter.
Intentionally by, you know, whoever, the record label, whomever, right? Mm-hmm. And if you think about it too, all the things, even in terms of his tattoos, are easily replicated.
Yeah, it's a literal uniform down to long, messy hair, a white t-shirt, dirty, white pants, dirty. A lot of times you take the microphone and stick it in his pants. Classic 80s, nothing too flashy, but black 80s digital watch, white dad shoes. These tattoos are like just like little black squares and triangles, and like, but they're just really sort of haphazardly placed on him.
Yeah. But haphazardly, but also like invisible areas, right? And so if someone was trying to duplicate your tattoos on your arm, by the way, it would be pretty difficult to do because it's pretty
kind of specific.
Yeah, well, it's specific, but it's also like involved. There's a lot of like stuff to it, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just like, boom, a black rectangle.
Right.
So there's like these almost like areas that could be used as quote unquote points of reference, right? So if you see somebody walking down the streets in New York City, and if you've never been in New York, I'll never forget the first time I went there. It's just like there's a scene in like every sort of 80s movie that has to deal with New York, you know, like Crocodile Dundee. It shows like just this humongous crowd where you can really be somebody and also nobody at the same time.
Right.
Do you know, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And so you can be anonymous in just such a huge crowd. But if you're a celebrity, part of the way people recognize you is by, you know, the certain sort of aspects of your look.
Yeah, your
and
style.
So you can kind of like, you know, we've all seen those memes that go around now where it's like, hell, man, I think you sent me one the other day. It was like, all my life I thought I had a picture with Michael Jackson, but I just re-looked at this picture. And it's like this, the worst sort of like impersonator of Michael Jackson, like with this little kid.
Yeah.
And it's the funniest thing. Or in that movie, Game Night with Jason Bateman, when like his buddy, the girl's like, I cheated on you with Denzel Washington. And she shows the picture, dude, and it's not even close, right? So in real life, it's easy to mistake someone for somebody famous if they meet sort of like, if they check all the boxes in terms of, you know, points of reference. Mm-hmm. To me, that's kind of what these tattoos seem like to me.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. They seem like part of the uniform so that at some point, if you didn't like being famous or if you wanted to do something else for another reason, you could put somebody in those shoes, in those marshmallow shoes, and make that happen.
Well, and I also think that, you know, to go along with that, I think not only does he have sort of a stylistically have a theme, but he also has a theme of he's the party guy. Every song is about like partying. It's like he has like such an unmistakable, just like if you see videos of him, I mean, he looks insane. He's like heavy metal parking lot, like a dude that's just so amped up and just like just going for it. But it's almost like embarrassing, sort of cringy at the same
time. It's over the top,
yeah. I think one thing that we should sort of mention before we go any further is, you know, like I said, he is like the party guy, right? And so the majority of his songs are very sort of somewhat positive, kind of over the top, like, hey, we're here to party, we're here to do this. But it's really this weird dynamic because, like, for example, there's a song that he has called I Love NYC. The chorus is, I love New York City. Oh, yeah, New York City. I love New York City. Oh, yeah, New York City. Right? That sounds pretty positive. Good. Pretty right on.
He loves it.
Yeah. Here's the verses. Run it over. Run them out. Knock your block and tear your town. Move on corners. Move around. Talk no talk. Breaking you down. We are a corporation. We are a company. We cut hard, but we're cutting hard anyway. We are your mother's father. We are your final friend. It never started and it won't end. Next verse, broken faces, burning beds, deal off some for living while dead. Ride on nothing, ride your head, got no fear, say, and not said. We are a population, we are a factory. We don't do, but we never did anyway. We are your mother, father, we are your final friend. We can't stop what you can't end. So it's this very bizarre sort of juxtaposition of like, party, 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 I love New York City, to super dark, you know, weird, cryptic, kind of thing. And so this is another thing too. As we've kind of grown with Andrew WK, he went from party, party, party to now we're sort of in this like modern age, if you will, of the videos being extremely cryptic, extremely, it's bizarre because and again, it is the perfect show of like juxtaposition. So he has like a guitar that's literally a giant taco, right? and then he has another guitar that's like a giant pyramid. Well, when you flip him upside down, you know, at his shows, he'll flip him upside down and hold him above his head. And it's kind of like the all-seeing eye, or like the eye in the pyramid, this eye above his head, which is like sort of, you know, there's a lot of directions you can go, your third eye, your so there's a lot of these sort of esoteric type, maybe like Masonic even, or like, you know, New World Order type.
Symbolism.
Yeah, like Illuminati reference. Kind of stuff, which mm-hmm. again, you know, if he is this sort of trickster entity, you know, and it is like a big trolling kind of thing, then, you know, it's just part of it. And it's just like another thing to throw off people and, you know, to think, oh, well, he's into this, or he's Illuminati, or, you know.
So at this point, you're probably thinking kind of like we initially thought, mm-hmm. and sometimes still do, because we go back and forth. Hey, it kind of sounds like this guy was kind of put together. Maybe he's got some mental instability. Potentially, maybe he's the one that, in an effort to interact with his fans via a quote-unquote different voice, he has the kind of opportunity to kind of, you know, be a little harsher,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of get that blame taken away from him so he can still appear to be sort of like that positive character throughout.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is around the time once Tyler and I both kind of separately got to this point in all of this mythos, mm-hmm. really.
Yeah.
This is when we started to think like, yeah, but there's also this feeling of, I don't know, things are just so intentional, right? Like,
yeah.
even the way that he is, you know, acting quote-unquote like unhinged, or mm-hmm. even sort of like impulsive, you know, just seems kind of put together even.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of this is hard to... This is a really difficult podcast, if you ask me, because...
We will return after these messages.
There's something out there waiting for us. And it ain't no man.
Hey, this is Bryce Johnson from the Bigfoot Collectors Club, and you're listening to Tyler and Woody on That Would Be Rad, because that is rad.
Like the last episode, it's a very visual thing. Like, it, you kind of have to, you know, do some cursory research and just, even to just look up Andrew WK interviews. It goes from 1 minute he's very nervous and he's like sort of stumbling over his words, and he's like, there's nothing really cohesive, he doesn't really know how to answer. And then the next minute he's a literal motivational speaker, mm-hmm. and he's the most hyper intelligent, very slick, very smooth, you know, there's no nerves at all. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of leads you to the place of like, well, who's the real Andrew? Like, what is he actually, this weird nervous guy, or is that mm-hmm. all an act?
Right.
So when I first told Woody about this and just said that we have to do this episode, the research into this stuff, it's pretty fascinating, right? Like, everything that we've went over thus far is, it's really kind of interesting. But again, from the surface level, maybe you're just looking into it too much, right? A couple weird things, you know, the Steve Mike deal. At one time, he says it's a collaborator that used to work for him or used to work with him on songs. The next minute, he says it's an entity, a group of people, which he actually does say on the Larry King live show. Then later, he goes on to say, like, shortly after that interview, he says, oh, no, Steve Mike is just a name that I used to give myself. You know, so you have this whole weird kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But in 2020, this letter sort of appears online. It kind of surfaces. What do you want to read the letter?
Yeah. Again, I'm going to encourage everybody to, and we'll put the links mm-hmm. up in our show notes, because essentially somebody has taking a picture of this letter and what came right. with it in this like FedEx package. So the letter itself is dated July 9th, mm-hmm. 2019. And it says, but it's kind of like crossed out.
Yeah.
Michael, comma. As promised, here's the Andrew W.K. Journal. From what I can tell, he was keeping this from 1998 until at least 2001, if you check the dates inside. I didn't explain this earlier, but I used to be one of Andrew's roommates in New York. It was only for a while, but it was pretty memorable. He was actually a pretty lame roommate. Total loner and never partied at all, antisocial, almost sociopathic. He tried to get me to join his band project, but I thought the music was shit and I turned him down. After that, he never really talked to me again. He wouldn't tell me what he was working on, and the dude became pretty secretive and guarded, verging on paranoid. But I always knew he was up to something because he would sit at the kitchen table and be writing and drawing every night. He accidentally left a box of random crap in my van when I was moving out of the apartment. It was mostly some of his old clothes, some books and porn magazines, and this journal. I never told him I had it. I just kept it. I'm glad I didn't toss it, but I've always felt guilty about holding on to it, so I'm trying to do something redemptive by sending this to someone who might actually give two shits about it. I did hear Andrew mention that all his journals were lost when he was moving to Florida after 9/11. The truth is, I had this journal even before then. I was pissed off at Andrew for a long time over a bunch of different bullshit, and I felt like he owed me a lot. I guess I didn't feel like doing anything nice for the dude during all that time. Hard to believe that was almost 23 years ago. Anyway, here it is with all the extra crap he kept in the pages. Do whatever you want with it, and although I still think Andrew is a dumbass and that his music is utter garbage, I've got to admit, I've sort of grown to respect his borderline psychotic commitment to keeping up his same shtick all this time, even though I still think his shtick is fucking moronic. For all we know, Andrew initially left this journal behind, hoping that someone would find it and do exactly what I am doing now. Who knows, right? Dude is a major fucking nut job. Signed,
Steve. Which is crossed out.
Good Lord. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is the thing. This particular journal is the thing that got me, just sent me over the moon with excitement. This is the thing that has been, I mean, truly an obsession for me. And it is kind of, this is why I want to do the episode so bad, because you really can't appreciate how weird it is without having all that other stuff that we've talked about up until now. You know, like, mm-hmm. This is such a story that really deserves, you know, a massive amount of context. So when I discovered a video on YouTube by a user called Velvet Snail, and he had this video that was 6 hours and 44 minutes. And I've watched it several times in the last week.
Man.
It's interesting because he's coming from a place where he's like a real fan of Andrew W.K. to begin with, you know? And so it's not just a guy that's trying to like discredit it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really nice perspective. But he basically breaks it all down. And it's fascinating. I mean, he goes through every single one of the pages almost.
So this is the notebook that Tyler's talking about is one of those old school composition notebooks. It's our favorite notebook to write in.
Yep.
It's what we use for,
yep, we've had them,
you know, our D&D stuff, but also what we used literally because they're like 50 cents or something, and we would take them on tour and write our own stuff. So whenever Tyler sent me this link and I saw this book, I mean, to be honest with you, it looks exactly like some of the stuff that we would write. Everything from like ideas that we had for a music video to like our first albums, our self-released first album, like the photo shoot, what like the image that we kind of wanted to have. And then we just like, here, photographer, make this, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Just trying to paint the picture for the listener here that it's just one of those old school sort of like on the cover, it looks like, you know, black and white sort of, what do you call that, man? You're the artist, cow.
Yeah,
print.
I don't know what it is. It's very like, I mean, it's immediately recognizable when you see it, but...
Yeah, and I mean, like, truthfully, it would be impossible for us to, although I got to, like, as bad as I want to, describe every mm-hmm. single page, you know, of the almost 350-page things. I mean, because literally there's just so much in this that you're like... I mean, some of it is kind of mundane, right? Like, prices for mm-hmm. recording gear and stuff like that. Which again, man, reminds me of stuff that.
Oh yeah, and not only that, but it's like it gets deep into how much he owes on his credit card, or how much. And let me also say, there's a lot of weird stuff kind of with his dad. I think we've left that out thus far. His dad, he's like a big deal. It's an entertainment lawyer, right? Mm-hmm. He's like a genius, and he's written books on, you know, certain procedural sort of law techniques, I guess, if you will. I don't know the correct, you know, terminology, but, mm-hmm. you know, he's kind of a big deal. He's really smart. And so, especially in this notebook, you really see Andrew reaching out to Dad, like, oh, I got to call Dad about this. Ask for a credit card number for a musician's friend. And, you know, again, that was like a big deal back in the mm-hmm. in the 90s. Musician Friend was kind of like a magazine version of Guitar Center.
Yeah, it's like a wholesaler.
Yeah, like a wholesaler. But we all, I mean, we all used it back in the day. Mm-hmm. Pretty awesome. But yeah, like what he's saying, there's so much sort of mundane stuff.
But even on that first inside cover, man, there's like weird cryptic stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, this is my world, underlined right. three times. No, like the no symbol, like no noise, no art.
Music or
and
die.
It, and it says like, yeah, music or die, entertainer, performer, concert, show, business. And then like at the bottom, dude, it says stuff like mirrors, doubles, double.
Yeah.
Stay focused, stay strong. Don't tell anyone, !! In parentheses, except mom, dad, FV, MD, SM. I think maybe it says Andy.
Oh, and Christine.
Christine.
Yeah. Never explain, all underlined. Stay focused, stay strong. Don't be a f***ing wimp.
Mm-hmm. Dude, go to page 13.
So yeah, so page 13 is like, it kind of kicks off the tone that you're going to see in like the rest of the book. And it's, to me, this is sort of where it gets fascinating. It basically says, notes for music and related elements in my new presentation statement to myself, in parentheses, trying to be innovative in any profoundly meaningful way is essentially a fool's errand when it comes to music genres. Besides, music as a sensory experience transcends, struck through, the egoic idea of any innovation anyway. It doesn't really matter if it's innovative, if that sonic or musical innovation doesn't deliver anything of sensational value. What matters in any worthwhile encounter with music is the power of the cumulative and multifaceted sensation that the audience experiences. So the area of innovation more worthwhile is all the surrounding ideas. In the vicinity of the music, which is struck through, I can have a chance of innovating in everything around the music. The psychological atmosphere, that area is still relatively untapped, uncharted, so much potential. Make innovations in all the feelings that the audience gets from the music, from what the music is happening inside of, how the entertainment is presented, manufactured, magical context. This area is so, all caps, neglected, if not altogether overlooked by most musicians. Actually, they intentionally dismiss this area as somehow being beneath them, despite it being incredibly fertile ground for the imagination of both the musician, creator, and the audience, which is struck through.
Mm-hmm. And again, this kind of goes back to last week's episode, man. You got 360 pages,
yeah,
worth of back-to-back, page-after-page explanations and, I mean, just minute details into manufacturing everything, folks. I'm talking about, like, I mean, everything you can think of that has to do with this guy's persona,
mm-hmm.
his style, the songs itself, the way that the songs are recorded, his image, you know, his appearance, the things that he wears.
Even down to, I mean, so he had this plan that was a 30-some-odd year plan. And I'm talking, he literally has this mapped out. And if, again, this is from, what year is this?
98.
Mm-hmm. This is mapped out over a 36-year period where he breaks, and at the end of the notebook, you can see where he breaks it down into like what he calls ages, where age, you know, 2, release album, only release it in Japan, gain weight, get tattoos. And then he literally has pages of like what his tattoos. First it starts out and it's like skulls, da, 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 da. Then he like marks all that out and he's like small geometric random, you know, shapes. I mean, everything down, even down to his signature. He literally changed like his font of how he even writes to fit this like this character or this mantle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dude, it is like, it's so fascinating.
It's so intriguing. It's so fascinating. It's so much though that like, I, you know, like we could literally talk about it for another hour. You know, like I said, it's so hard for me not to just say, you know what, screw it, man. We're going page for page.
Yeah.
I mean, like there's also things sprinkled in this. You mentioned this when we were talking about this before we started recording. It totally feels like a Tyler Durden situation here,
yeah.
where he's got this like journal, there's moments where, like, he'll be explaining his new music style, mm-hmm. right?
And by the way, he's always talking to himself. He's like, do this, right. Andrew, rule it, yeah. Andrew, rule it.
Exactly. And at the very bottom of this page, it says, you're in this forever, Andrew. You took an oath. What in the world?
Yeah, he talks about taking an oath and making a pact, signing a contract.
Make your music work like sleight of hand.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Sleight of ear.
Yeah, this is on page 14, I think. Keep in mind, 1998, there are so many moves to be made in this realm, which, by the way, he doesn't always kind of get into this. I mean, there is some kind of like little clues and hints at like Helena Blavatsky, the OTO, I think, and they're all sort of abbreviations. It's this Aleister Crowley or Crowley. There's definitely this sort of like chaos magic. Mm-hmm. He never says it, really. He never comes out and says it in this journal, but like if you know what that stuff looks and sounds like, there's definitely some of these elements of like sort of being able to alter and change your reality. So again, we'll get into like what we think this is, but there's clearly some of that happening. And so he says, there's so many moves to be made in this realm, especially, all caps, if they are made with extraordinary calculation, patience, and with the utmost restraint. The number one problem most people have is that when they do have the courage to venture into this area, they can't help but blurt it out and show their hand. The urge to reveal what you're doing to the audience is enormous. This is part of the bargain. You want to show how the magic trick is being done, but not only can you not reveal the secrets of the trick, then this is in all caps, you can't even reveal that you're performing a trick in the first place. Think of it like this, Andrew. You must become so adept at sleight of hand that very few or even no one will realize that you're even using sleight of hand at all. It's like disappearing without most of the audience even realizing you were there to begin with. Andrew, focus your biggest creative ambitions on long-range audiences, manipulation, and psychological perception performance. But at the same time, you must not neglect the more primal and immediate surface areas of your music work. They both count. Make your music as objectively good as you can within the accepted and beautiful limits of the craft, but put your imagination's greatest abilities to work in the larger world that you build around the music. I mean, that is... Suddenly, all leading up to here, we went from, this is the party guy, there's some weird stuff, he talks about this other Steve Mike character, that's really interesting. From one of the first pages in, you realize... this dude is on another level. Mm-hmm. Like, and everything that we've seen has been the most choreographed sort of like creation. And what's amazing is the fact that like several of his records were like, you know, on the Billboard, you know, he had like massive singles, especially for Party Hard in the beginning. I mean, this dude like, you know, quote unquote made it. And that's not even his main thing.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. He's so intelligent, so smart.
I want the listeners to discover this notebook and raffle through the pages mm-hmm. on their own.
Yeah.
Because it's just hard to believe, honestly. And because again, there's 360 pages. Mm-hmm. It would be impossible and potentially boring for us to go through each one, but you've got to see it though. I'm telling you, if you just have to see it. It's just incredibly intriguing.
Yeah.
No matter if, even if this wasn't him that wrote it, it's still genius.
It's,
you know,
it's 100%. I mean, even down to like, you know, talking about like his music, total sonic maximalism within the standard accepted lineations and formal structures, hard rock music. He's like creating and like planning out like how his music sounds and how it'll work within the confines of not cliche or not like silly, but like, you know, a lot of times like rock music is sort of looked down on by like academics or, you know, classical sort of musicians. And so he kind of even realizes that and says, push it to the max, make the sound of your music have, you know, so many guitars that it's just this huge feeling, but you never really hear a single intimate instrument. You never really hear a vocal without it sounding like there's a group of people. So it's like, even back then, he was creating this idea of, even down to his music, being a vehicle for like somebody else to jump in and drive. Mm-hmm. Like everything about him, the uniform, the type of music, the stage presence, everything is kind of set up in a way that Andrew W.K. could just, I mean, if that's who it is, could duck out and somebody else could jump in and and pick right back up, which he does talk about in the book as well.
And so throughout this, you know, initially our theory was, well, maybe he is, you know, put together by an organization. Mm-hmm. Even in this journal, you'll see certain areas where he'll have this like plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then in like a purple, you know, like one of those like gel pens,
mm-hmm.
someone has circled certain things or said yes to certain things and said like approved. And it's in like this writing that is way different than any that you see anywhere else in the journal. So not necessarily his,
mm-hmm.
But very sort of like female looking,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you know, like as if someone's, he's coming up with the ideas, someone's in charge and kind of working in conjunction with him on all of this.
Yeah. Like I'm looking at page 22 and it says computer, G-Bass, sound cards, mixer, CD burner, and out to the side of all those, it just says, okay. That's another thing that's interesting in this book is like, not only is he, we believe, not only is he like talking to himself in the third person of like, Andrew, rule it, and you're an idiot, Andrew. And then out to the side, it's like, or are you? Like, it's all, there's this constant sort of like back and forth of like, okay, is he just kind of talking to himself in this weird kind of way? Or is the book, which is what I believe, it's sort of in tandem with somebody reading it, you know, like check it off and sort of approve certain things in it. It's really weird. And it's done in a tone a lot of times too, where it's a little, you know, it's like you are smarter than the audience. And then out beside it, it will say, you must never be smarter than the audience. Always be the useful idiot. And again, there's, you know, 380 some odd pages in this book. So it's like, you know, it's this constant, like, I mean, really is.
It's just like this tug of war, man, that's happening, whether it's, you know, within his own mind or actually happening between him and somebody that's kind of quote unquote in charge. Like one of the things says like a fake hoax question mark. Do not be faceless or anonymous. That's too easy. Be hidden in plain sight.
Right.
Be completely exposed and veiled at the same time. Always be both. And then that's a theme that you see on numerous pages too, where it just says always be both, always be both. And so it's like this, I don't know if this notebook is like us cracking into the mind of this person and seeing all of this. Does it feel like this, it's kind of like the letter states, when you read all of this stuff, after all of this information is kind of collectively in your mind here, it almost feels as though even the discovery of this notebook and our ability to now look at it and discuss it on a podcast is kind of at the end of the day doing what he wanted it to do all along.
Well, and
which is now we're telling this story.
Yeah.
More people are going to research it. He's being both. He's anonymous and real. He's like fake and real at the same time. It's the strangest thing.
Yeah.
Dude.
Well, looking at this notebook, I do not believe that somebody could do it today. Like I do believe that this notebook is 100% genuine of the time. I mean, I couldn't put together a notebook the way that like we would have looked in the Outlook, even though it's sort of this mastermind vibe, you know, it's like everything is so precise and clean and like broken down into like, you know, almost, you know, beyond 30 years in the future. There's still like something about it that feels like a musician that's starting out, and I don't think that could be faked.
Right.
At least the vibe that I get from it. But
we'll return after these messages.
America's future can be determined by our dreams and our visions.
It was very intense, bright light.
For over 200 years, there have been reports of giant, man-like creatures.
From another dimension, another world, I don't know.
The most intriguing mystery on the North American continent.
This is Joshua Cutchin, and you're at my home for weirdness. That would be rad.
Again, near the end of the notebook, you know, when he has this plan, he talks about in whatever like specific age. Again, I mentioned earlier, like I said, he breaks everything down in like ages. So it's like, you know, you put out this record, you know, you gain weight. You put out this next album only in Japan, become, you know, more underground, less mainstream, lose weight. You know, next era put out, you know, silly instrumental album to gain access into higher, more academic, more highly trained musician circles. So it's like everything is broken down. And that's the thing that's scary about this. Like almost to a T, every single thing for the most part. I mean, some of like the album titles, for example, you know, maybe the album title isn't that, but like there's a song on the album with the same title. So there's like, there's little things here and there that are different, but like for the most part, I mean, he's kind of still right on track. But all that to say, near the end of the book, it talks about in one of whatever the age is, you know, plant a notebook that reveals everything. And so it's like, if this is the trolling, then what we're doing right now, what Woody just said, is facilitating that.
Yep, playing right into it. But it's impossible not to, man. And so, like, hopefully if you made it this far, you understand that this is something that, just like us, we never thought would be this in-depth, this complex, and this interesting. I'm telling you, you gotta see this notebook.
I mean, whatever it is, what if it is fake and it was all made last year, then I think it's still just as genius. But, you know, I don't necessarily believe that. I think I'm looking at it as like the long game, and this is maybe some, like maybe the greatest piece of performance art that the world has ever seen.
Right, exactly.
And those are, I mean, that's big words, you know?
Yeah, I mean, when I think of performance art that will stand the test of time, you think of Andy Kaufman.
Right.
You think of,
well,
Joaquin Phoenix, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad you said that, because he talks about, even in the book, like WK standing for Andy Warhol, Warhol Kaufman, Kubrick being the K. So like he really is like really getting into this sort of performance art idea of it. Again, you got to go out there and check it out.
So I've gone back and forth, man, on what I think is going on here. You know, if it wasn't for this notebook, perhaps this notebook is a misdirect, but if it wasn't for this notebook, I would kind of lean more towards some of the theories that are out there about, you know, his dad basically being part of the finance and potential sort of masterminding behind this sort of like big, huge marketing strategy that ultimately worked anyway. That's where I would kind of lean. After seeing this notebook, though, and seeing it all written out. Now, I know what some of you are probably thinking, like, look, there's no way we can prove necessarily that this notebook is genuine 1998 without, I don't know, taking it to a freaking carbon dating, you know, whatever. But just like Tyler said, imagine trying to write down a day-to-day journal of your college experience or 10 years ago or 5 years ago. I mean, you know what I mean? Yes, you're going to have those giant details in your mind. You'll be able to kind of write them down, but not at this level, man. Not at this sort of...
like minutia. Like
yeah, exactly. And even like you said, even if it is just one big hoax by someone who wrote this that has nothing to do with Andrew W.K., and it's not Andrew W.K., it may be just like a mega fan that knows all this stuff. Boy, it's a genius level if that's the case. I also think, I know my answer is real, real long here, for me to just ultimately say, I don't know what's going on. But I think that...
But I don't know what's going on.
I think that the dude is extremely smart. He comes from a smart family. I think there might be a little mixture of a lot of these theories.
Tell him why, Woody.
Including... Sorry, I missed it.
I said, tell him why, Woody.
Tell him why what?
You know, why you have a certain perspective maybe on that.
Oh. And you're talking about in terms of maybe potentially he's got some mental health issues? Yeah, so I mean, like when Tyler and I were first kind of talking about this and his behavior and certain things, I remember thinking like multiple personality disorder and stuff when I was growing up and even early adulthood, I just thought, dude, not real. People are just like making up stuff, trying to get out of whatever circumstance that they're in. But then I worked for a mental health facility and I got to see this kind of stuff firsthand, and it's... I almost said insane, but that's kind of off color. It is astonishing, is the only way I can kind of put it, to see someone one day be a certain way, and then my shift's over, I come back the next day, and this person has transformed into someone completely different.
Right.
And not so much physicality, although mannerisms are different, but complete different, man.
Right.
It's like talking to Fred and then talking to Steve.
Who has different life experiences, different age.
Way that they talk about stuff, don't know who I am, meeting me for the first time, mm-hmm. completely genuine, not a put on. I mean, just wild, man. Mm-hmm. So having witnessed that, I can't get away from the fact that I think maybe he has some mental health stuff, and the people that are kind of working with him may not be doing it in a malicious way, but they're kind of trying to kind of like water some of that stuff down and kind of rein him in a little bit when he's being a little mm-hmm. intense. Mm-hmm. There's a theory online that exists that maybe that sort of quote unquote break in December of 2004, potentially his sort of mental health issues kind of peaked. Mm-hmm. Maybe he wasn't on his medication or whatever. His family intervened and either got him back on medication or, you know, did some sort of like psychotherapy that changed him in a way, whether it was like electric shock treatment or, you know, whatever. Some people said brainwash, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing.
Which again does kind of lead back to this sort of ongoing idea that like possibly his dad, this, you know, quote unquote organization surrounding this, you know, kind of being the real, you know, creators of this whole thing. And then he's just like this, he says somewhere like, he's just like a good frontman and charismatic frontman. And that's where the real deal is, like the actual organization. And, you know, obviously Steve Mike would be tied into that. In the notebook, it continually talks about the Louise Harland Corporation. I looked that up. The Louise Harland Corporation is a division of Andrew W.K. Inc. and is responsible for many areas of operation within Andrew W.K. Inc., like in quotations, Andrew W.K., all caps.
So strange, man.
Yeah. And then it's funny because on this same thing, I got to say this, it's really funny. It says, what are all the codes about? And it says, you know, please dismiss any sort of codes which have been, you know, presented on Andrew W.K. websites or other forms of communication. Andrew W.K. has never and will never communicate through codes or coded messages. Andrew W.K. prides himself on being honest and straightforward in all his efforts to share information fairly with his fans. Jeez. And it's just like, that's so good.
Yeah.
And again, all this stuff is in the notebook. Every single thing that you see, you will find in that notebook that was written in 1998. That's why the reason that everything is so fascinating with this story is because of the notebook. Because everything that we've said, you can find in his journal that it was written in 1998, where he's crafted and planned every bit of that. This is even down to, you know, lose all of your friends, and then it'll have like a little message where it says, you can do this, Andrew, don't be a f***ing wimp. Like, man. none of them matter. What matters is the oath that you took.
Meanwhile, him and his, I guess, wife, Kat Dennings, are just listening to this podcast, just laughing their butts off, man.
Yeah, they sure are. You know, it is interesting that you said that, because there is a particular place, well, numerous times in the journal where he says, like, tell no one, no girlfriend, no wife, never, ever, ever tell anyone except SM, Steve Mike. Hmm. And so I've often wondered, being in this big rabbit trail I've been on, I wonder if his wife, because he's been with his wife for a long time, I think, at this point, I wonder if she's kind of in on this, because apparently she even, like, performs with him now.
Weird.
Yeah, like, she's like his, like, hype man almost. Like, she gets on stage and, like, dances and does this like jazzercise kind of thing. But yeah, pretty fascinating. So you believe that this was like,
I mean, more and more I'm kind of leaning towards this is all part of an elaborate plan of his in terms of just doing what he said. I mean, even to the point of like using body doubles, having that sort of ability to have points of reference to kind of increase the anonymity potential.
Yeah, but then what about the part that says like in the notebook several times, plant this notebook, leave it with
that's what I'm saying. Yep, all part of his plan.
I mean, boy, that's 340 pages of a plan that you're just going to haphazardly leave with somebody.
Yeah, but you know, it'd be kind of like, it would be almost a tragedy if someone like lived and died this life and no one ever knew.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So like having it and then like releasing it gives sort of an audience. I mean, to be honest with you, man, I kind of like him a little bit more now.
Oh, dude, right? I'm
so it's
all
like
in
all
now.
Part of that plan to see, you know, I mean, because it's doing its intended effect, man, which is like us talking about it years later during a time when, you know, I mean, I think in between his last two albums, I think he had an album that came out in 2019, right? Mm-hmm. Which is kind of close to when this notebook was discovered, or at least the note was written in the package or whatever.
Well, I guess the notebook was found and sent to whoever this guy is, Michael maybe. But like I said, the Velvet Snail guy that does the 6.5 hour video, he had just found out this stuff, and he had kind of an anonymous person send him the notebook. So maybe this dude is like all part of it, but this is where I found out the majority of all this stuff. It's interesting because this article came out on October 14th, and then if this dude found it around October 20th, these two would have kind of been in tandem. So basically, a few days before this notebook was kind of brought to the public, you know, there's a news article that says, Andrew W.K. signs worldwide contract with Napalm Records. It says, the team at Napalm Records is proud to announce the signing of international hard rock superstar and god of partying, Andrew W.K. We at Napalm are thrilled to propel Andrew to new heights, having been longtime fans of his work since the beginning. To say partnering and partying with the team at Andrew W.K. has been exciting and enlightening is an understatement. We've got our seatbelts on and secured tightly, and we're ready to party our way into the future of Andrew W.K. And then the most random thing. Keep in mind, this girl was his webmaster, supposedly, back in the early days. Mm-hmm. Christine Williams shared these words on behalf of the entire Andrew W.K. company. Everyone here at Andrew W.K. and the Luis Harland Corporation is very pleased to have this opportunity to work with Napalm Records. We look forward to partying harder than ever before. So it's like, why would you have a press release with your, like, webmaster? Mm. It's so bizarre. And then to also include like what I'm guessing is maybe the financial or sort of accounting side of the Andrew W.K. Corporation is the Luis Harland Corporation. Like, why is it necessary that she even brought that up? Mm-hmm. But it does say, and Frank Vierti, longtime creative director, added the following, I've worked with Andrew W.K. since the late 90s, and it's been a wild ride since day one. Still, after all the twists and turns, I have an uncanny feeling that the most twisted turns are about to take place. And I'm confident the good people at Napalm Records will hold on tight while we navigate the next loop in this never-ending roller coaster ride. They've seen through the big picture, they've accepted what's going on in the background, and they've agreed on what's to come. Most importantly, they're not afraid to push this next chapter and reconnect the dots from 1999, 2001, 2005, 2009, and the tears spanning 2011 and 2018. Oh, praise the party gods. So what is all... It just continually gets more and more confusing and more fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, what we wanted to do was present you with this information so you can dig into it deeper. It's fascinating. Yeah, I'm telling you, the more you dive in, the crazier it gets, the more your mind is going to change as to what's going on here. You're going to read some of these theories and probably lean more towards them than perhaps our sort of like end result, which is, you know, kind of this dude is simultaneously a genius and potentially deranged at the same time. Mm-hmm. And he's got this incredible plan that, by the way, is working.
To a T.
And it doesn't matter if it's him that's coming up with it or someone else, it is working. And at the end of the day, who doesn't love a really good cryptic mystery?
Yeah, especially one that's, you know, in the modern age. I mean, you know, again, you think of Andy Kaufman. I mean, he's kind of the main one that you sort of think of in the sort of performance art world. So it is pretty fascinating to know that we're part of this rollout of whatever it is. If it is performance art, then I'm on board.
I'm telling you, you gotta see this notebook. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Andrew, if you're listening, you or Kat are welcome to come on our show and explain the truth to all of our listeners.
Yeah.
Granted.
So the one thing that was really interesting about the Andrew W.K. story or urban legend, if you will, is, you know, when we recorded the show, I got to give it up to our buddy John Packer because he's the one who turned me on to there being anything even remotely sort of off, if you will, about Andrew W.K. And I was like, man, this is like really bizarre. Like, why have we never heard of this, you know? And so, boy, we went down a real deep rabbit trail. And the interesting thing with that is when we recorded the episode, I think like the next day, maybe, it was announced that he like canceled the tour, and it was complete radio silence.
Well, and also real quick, after we posted, I mean, there's never been a time, folks, where we've posted something such as this episode in such a way that the universe is literally, we are in sync with what's going on. We did this the day before the tour's canceled and all this. And what's crazy is when we did that, obviously we got a flood of listens and comments and messages and stuff. But one of them was from freaking Andrew WK's guitarist, who is now a regular listener of our show.
Amazing. So cool.
So what's up?
Yeah, it really was like just this beautiful synchronicity, but also a little frustrating because it felt like, you know, we dig. And it was cool because it was something that neither of us knew anything about, you know, up until like, you know, the week prior. But we do all this research and then it felt like, oh, we're going to, you know, something else is going to come down the pipeline or but it was just completely dead. Nothing.
Yeah, it's like it fell off a cliff. I remember kind of like just scrounging through Reddit. Same. And I did find something that was directed about us where somebody mentioned the episode and then someone else was like, yeah, no, I think they're part of it.
Yeah, I saw that too, yeah.
I mean, that's when you know you've made it.
Yeah.
You know, whenever there's a question that you might be a part of a conspiracy about Andrew WK is just the best.
Yeah.
Because like people were, and they were going back in the comments, going back and forth about like, I mean, what are the odds that these guys decided out of nowhere to do an episode about Andrew WK literally the day before? And look, I agree. That does look weird.
Oh, yeah.
It does seem like we would be a part of it. And maybe we are.
Well, listen, I'm about as big of a conspiracist as
anybody that I've ever known.
Anybody that's ever walked the planet. And so, like, it is cool. But, and so I totally understand, like, psyops and how, like counter opposition kind of stuff and like plants and all that stuff. Like, I do kind of believe in that, but it was interesting to see our name like pop up. And so anyway, all that to say, the synchronicity of all that happening and then also the synchronicity that this thing comes out yesterday, which is, again, this is the first time there's been any media coverage, any sort of mention of Andrew WK in the press. And that's, you know, he releases these wedding photos and God bless him. Congratulations, Andrew WK and Kat Dennings. I've always thought she was stunning. She's beautiful. They look great. And I'm just ready for the next step in, you know, let's get the train back on the tracks, Andrew.
And I think that next step is for both of them to come on our show. So we will see you in season four.
I love it. God, listen, any of you folks out there,
I prefer that as the ending.
So if there's any folks in the show that have any sort of connection to Kat Dennings, management, Andrew WK, Steve Mike, hey, hit us up because I'll say this. If we can get Andrew WK on the show,
there's never going to be another episode.
Yeah, no other episodes. We hang it up.
Yeah, that's it.
I think this episode is really great because you can really hear like the excitement that we have for this topic because we just heard about it and it, you know, it feels like we're like the guy connecting the red threads, you know.
In other words, what Tyler's trying to say is it's a lot more entertaining for us to dive into a topic that we feel like we haven't had a chance to even hear any other podcast episode about ever. You know what I mean? And so sometimes I feel like, in other words, it's more fun for us to sort of chart our own path through this sort of like unknown than it is to sort of just like, you know, walk the same path, do it in our way and deliver a story that maybe you've heard, but, you know, certainly unique in that we kind of just do it, you know, differently or you know, better, but who's counting? so you can hear that in that episode. Same with the Dynek episode that we like that we released from the vault last time. But yeah, so it's a great one. And, you know,
we hope you enjoy it.
I am Andrew WK. I am the same Andrew WK that has been here from... I am the same Andrew WK that has been here from the beginning. I am the same Andrew WK that you have seen on all the albums. I am the same Andrew WK that has existed and performed for you at all concerts and appearances, including this one. I am the same Andrew... I am Andrew WK. I am the same Andrew WK that has appeared through... At all Andrew WK related appearances. Thank you. Next question. Thank you.